We had to wait a little bit because we were just so gosh darn excited that we couldn't keep our emotions together with a big win by the Miami Hurricanes over Clemson for the first time since 2010, which you and I were both at. It's been a while. Wow, that's exciting.
Welcome, Canes fans. And I was ready to do this at midnight on Saturday night.
That's a fair point. I might have gone and hung out with another fellow Hurricane, James Rohall, to celebrate our win. Not too crazy, actually. There was no crazy celebrating, but we actually just needed to finally go get food. That was the main celebration because that game just kept going. We're like, we don't need to order food. The game will be over soon. Oh my gosh, it's gotten into overtime.
And it went into another overtime.
It did, and the Miami Hurricanes pulled out a big win, faced some adversity in this game, and maybe not really adversity since they knew probably back on Monday before the game that Tyler Van Dyke was out, but to us, that was all brand new on Saturday.
Yeah, the way they presented it, it sounded like, oh my gosh, we just discovered this morning that Van Dyke can't play today. And then as the day wore on and the game wore on, it became apparent that they've known all week.
Yes. And that will lead me into one of the frustrating things that I saw at the B for most of this game was that they were prepared for this game. And man, did that offense look anemic. And like, this is the game plan that we came up with, especially when they were down 17-7.
I liken this game to the old tortoise and the hare, and we were the tortoise, and we got there ahead of the hare.
That is a good analogy. I was a bit of a doubter that once we got to 17-7, and I think that's a great way to say that how Mario wants to play games is get it all muddy and then do two very long drives, just run the ball nonstop, and get out with a win late in the game.
After that long drive in the fourth quarter, I began to think, oh, this was pretty good game strategy, because the defense had, while it was a nine and a half minute or something like that, possession, it really in real time on the clock, it was over a half an hour rest period for the defense. So, I mean, they came out refreshed.
Which was great. You saw that. It was a quick, pretty much three and out to get the ball back and then go down and score again. That was impressive. And because of all that rest, actually gave Miami the ball back late in that game with less than 2 minutes left to actually go and either kick a field goal to win the game or score a touchdown to win the game.
Right. So all of a sudden, the game strategy that was so frustrating through three quarters of the game became, oh, this is really brilliant. Well, brilliant might be a little over the top. However, it really worked.
It did. And they stuck to their game plan even down. They wanted to run the ball. They ran for over 200 yards. Another sneaky injury that we didn't talk about as much was Henry Parrish not being in that game and other players having to step up. I imagine we'll hear him again. But Allen Jr. was very impressive running the ball and obviously scoring some big touchdowns late in the game. I think we have a possible new favorite or a new, not favorite, but a new option at running back that gets the fan base excited.
Yes, he did a great job, as did other players. There were a lot of standout players this game.
There were. I continue to love James Williams stripping the ball from Will Shipley at the goal line. It's almost too bad he didn't realize what was going on because he could have picked the ball up and ran for a touchdown after that. But Rashard Smith decided to do that. And then, of course, I swear I looked at my buddy James when he got to the 10-yard line and I go, I saw the Clemson defender coming. I'm like, he's now going to fumble because this is the most Miami thing possible. And of course he did. But I forget who recovered.
Young.
What?
Young. Young.
It was not. Oh, it was George. Oh,
George.
Yes. George recovered it. And one of the things I always talk about in football and sports, and especially coaching football, though, because the way the ball bounces very strangely, is you create your own luck. And he ran down there and was able to get the ball because he ran down and created his own luck. And so we recovered the touchdown. Incredible, incredible play. And then we just grounded out for 4 yards, 3 yards of play.
Well, I heard Mario Cristobal talking about the George play, and he, you know, pointed out George didn't quit. He didn't quit. He could have slowed down when he saw Rashard Smith coming close to the goal line, but he didn't. He didn't slow down. And yeah, made his own success there. Great play.
He did, which was great to see. And again, you just love that effort that you're getting from players now. So I'm excited, and I'll say, you know, Emery Williams looked very much like a freshman quarterback, but he did not make any major mistakes, handled that game well, knew what the game plan was. He knew what his role was, stayed within that game plan. And while really frustrating not to see him throw the ball deep at any point, had some pretty good moments late in that half to Colby Young, and had one play to Colby Young, which should have been a catch that Colby dropped. But luckily, Colby came back on the next play and made some great plays after that. So I was good to see that this team, and definitely I know I never love the, oh, we got to bring in our guys because that's the type of culture we want to build. It is showing, and I will say that it is showing where that could have been a terrible drop by Colby, and then he shuts down the rest of the game. Nope, came back, big slant route that was tough in the middle, caught it, kept this drive going, moved on, and I think that's awesome to see from this team.
They actually look like a well-coached team.
They did. They absolutely did. Now, I do have to say, I think Mario got off the hook a little bit with his time management when we got the ball back with a minute 50. We got the ball back, right around the 40-yard line, our 40-yard line, with one timeout, and they didn't do anything with it. They didn't take any chances. They weren't aggressive. And I get it. You don't really want to do that at times, but you have a chance to go win the game, put the game out so you don't have to go into overtime. And they didn't do anything. They didn't even make the effort. And I'd love to see that change.
Okay. I'm sorry, but you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth here. When he didn't kneel 2 games ago, when they had the Georgia Tech game in hand, and they, you know, continued to play, they continued to run the ball, and they fumbled, and Georgia Tech scored on us. You can't come back and say, well, they should have done something more aggressive.
They should have, because this game wasn't in hand. This game wasn't won. What do you mean? I'm not talking about two sides of the mouth. There's two separate situations. One is they had the win and they should have taken a knee. This game, they should have been more aggressive like they were against Georgia Tech. Instead, they weren't. They were really conservative and played for overtime. And luckily, they trusted the defense, which is fine. And that's how he wants to play. I don't agree with that, but it's how Mario coaches, and it worked for him. And so I'm not going to debate that. I just prefer that we have a chance. We have a very good field goal kicker. All you need is about 20 to 30 yards. You showed that your quarterback could throw the ball pretty well. Run up some plays and see what you can do. Don't just give it in and just hope that you win in overtime.
Well, or yeah, you could have, you know, run the ball and then fumbled or been intercepted, and then there Clemson would have run for a touchdown or a field goal, and we would have lost the game.
And we could have done that in overtime too when we had the ball. We could have fumbled, thrown an interception when we needed to score, and could have lost the game there. So I can do this all day with you.
Right. Well, let's not, though. Let's move on. Okay. I have a couple questions. And, okay. And the first question, the big question is, why wasn't that a safety? I thought once the opposing team was in the end zone with the ball during a play, that is an automatic safety.
Well, the reason it wasn't called a safety, Mom, is because it's the ACC refs who have no idea what they're doing most of the time. And because the play was called not a safety, they were too scared to overturn it. I think also, you know how I feel, if that was Miami in this flipped where Emery Williams was getting tackled at that point and they had called it not a safety, they would have confirmed it as a safety then later and reversed the call. But that's here nor there. The ball has to be, if any of the ball is out of the end zone, then it is not a safety. So it can just be the smallest of millimeters. If it is out of the end zone, it is not a safety. But if the full ball is in the end zone while the person is starting to be tackled or then is down, then it is a safety. I guess what they thought was that Cade was just enough out of the end zone and called like forward progress almost, where he was like standing at like the half yard line and then got tackled into the end zone, which wouldn't be a safety because it's where his forward progress was because he was tackled backwards. I still think that he ran backwards and was in there once, and the ball was in the end zone once he was being tackled. And our whole debate about whether the game was aggressive or not in the overtime and should have gone to overtime wouldn't have happened because we would have won the game.
Yes. Yes. But I don't know. To me, he was clearly in the end zone, but you know, what am I?
I think so too. I just was like, ACC refs, we're not going to get this call. I'm okay. Like, I've just accepted what it is and I know we're not going to get it.
Okay. Then there was, and it just maybe something I missed. There was a punt that was, I thought it landed in the end zone. So it should have been on, I don't know which team, somebody should have had possession on the 25 yard line, but they had possession on the 35 yard line. I'm not sure what happened. I mean, there's no reason for that, right? So it just has to be something I missed in the broadcast.
Correct. I think you missed something there.
Okay. All right.
That answers that. Easy peasy. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Any other questions you got for me?
Those are my two questions.
Oh, okay. Well, that's exciting. All right. As we wrap up this, I know we'll talk about two defensive players probably a little bit, but just we can't talk enough about Reuben Bain Jr. and Corey Flagg Jr., I believe, as well. Man, great defense. But I think we're going to hear about them in the next segment.
So here we are with the red beans and rice and the banana chocolate chip muffin awards. This was another tough choice for me. There were too many standouts. And I try so hard not to have somebody that I've already chosen, but I couldn't resist this time. I absolutely couldn't resist. But I do want to call out, I'm going to call out Chaney, who seemed to be a part of every possession at some point. In every down, it seemed like he was somewhere in the mix. Rashard Smith, oh my God, that 80-yard run was wonderful if he just hadn't fumbled it on the goal line. And he had a couple other. He had a couple other chunk plays that were good. He looked very, very good. He was very explosive. Like him. I like him.
Good. Chaney led the way for our running backs with 17 carries but for 63 yards. But that wasn't – Rashard Smith obviously had more yards because he had 87 on four carries because of the 80-yard run.
Yes. Okay. Have to call out George for recovering the fumble, and that was, as we've already said, very very noteworthy. The defense, I mean, you can almost name everybody that was out there. They all did something great, I thought. So I'm going to boil this down to the two that actually I think won the game for us. And that would be Allen, who is really coming into himself, I think, as a player.
And that's AJ Allen. And I just wanted to make sure, because I didn't get his name in the first segment. And so there we go. I want to make sure you get his proper kudos and his full name in this.
Well, he had the winning touchdown. So we have to give, I have to give him. And I have to give Corey Flagg the red beads and rice. I mean, he had a forced fumble. He had tackles. He had two tackles for loss. He had the game winning tackle.
He did. He had a walk off tackle to win.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Great. I absolutely agree with those picks. Again, it's hard. The good news, Mom, is that we're playing a little bit better, and so we're not making it hard because there's not anybody to choose from. There's actually a good amount of players to choose from. So I think that's exciting.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the stats on these defensive players are just, it's just mind-boggling. And, you know, Reuben Bain, I gave him the award last week. It's like, okay, I can repeat during the season, but not 2 weeks in a row. So sorry, Reuben. Next week.
He had eight tackles, two tackles for loss, two sacks, two QB hurries, and a forced fumble. I would say that is very good against a much older offensive line as well. This kid's going to be a star.
I didn't realize that his brother is on staff.
I didn't know that either.
Well, he is. And I can't remember whether he's an intern or he's a low-level staffer, coach, I mean.
Find out next week when we figure it out.
Yes. Okay.
Well, after we got spanked by UNC, Mom, they pulled a UNC in the Mac Brown era. They pulled a Miami for the last 20 years and laid a dud against Virginia and got upset at home. I can't believe it that team, I thought they were past this with the many years that Mac's been there. And the fact that Drake May is pretty good, like that's a good team that we saw beat us. And they lost to Virginia, who I think had only won one game so far this season.
What does that mean for us?
I don't know. Not great.
I mean, I'm now a lot more nervous about this Virginia game.
And I think you should be, because you are not only going to watch it, but you're going to watch it live in there. And you're very proud of yourself. Mom has decided to spend a little extra. So she's going to move a little bit closer to the 50-yard line instead of sit like in the end zone or in the corner. So we're very proud of her for being like, I'm going to go and get a little bit closer. So she is going to be at the game. She's going to watch. And I'm very proud of you. You're then also recording so you can take your notes after.
Yes, exactly. So, but one thing we did not say is, and I'm sorry, but I cannot let this go by unnoticed. I predicted that we were going to win. I predicted that we would beat Clemson. Should I say that again?
I think you should. I predicted
that we would beat Clemson 28-24.
That's pretty well done by you. I have to say, I'm looking forward to your picks on it. I do have to say, though, and I will call you out for this, when you found out about the Tyler Van Dyke injury, you did text me, I don't even want to watch the game.
I was wondering if you would remember that.
I was trying to, you know, I just wanted to make sure that we did it, but you did watch. And of course you always believe in your hurricane. So in your moment of being irrational, you came to your senses, you watched the game. And once again, you predicted, I think you're pretty close on predicting most of these games so far.
So, you know, if I had to pick my top five most painful games over the last, 15 years now, or more, the Clemson losses would definitely be, a couple of them would definitely be in my top five. So that's why I made the comment that I didn't really want to watch it because I was afraid it was going to be painful.
And as said, it had been since 2010 that we had beaten Clemson, which again, we were at that game 13 years ago. I believe I have the amount of days in front of me, 4,767 days since the last time that we beat Clemson. And I believe at one point too, when we took the lead with that touchdown, it was the first time we had a lead against Clemson since we won that game.
Oh my gosh.
So in the other games that we played against Clemson, we obviously have not had a lead. I was at two games against Clemson and saw a total of 3 points combined by Miami. And a lot, I think over 100 combined by Clemson. So again, you're right. It's awesome. We beat Clemson. Anyone can say that they're not the team that they have been in the past this year. That's fine, but it's a step in the right direction. And don't forget, Mario got his first home ACC win somehow this past weekend.
Yay, Mario!
Yay, Mario. So we got off into a little bit of tangent on that. We can quickly touch on some of the other games. FSU finding another way to win. They're one of those teams that I continue actually to hope that they're undefeated going into that Miami game. And I hope we keep winning. And I think that's going to be a pretty good game. And I, even though they look good, I still think we have a chance against them.
You never know. We had no chance to beat them back in 2009 when my buddy Leslie and I went, and we beat them that time in Tallahassee.
That's true. Other couple of games, I know you were fast asleep by this point, but over here on the West Coast, we stayed up to watch the UW-Arizona State game. Dad's alma mater, and Arizona State almost pulled off the shocking upset against UW, and UW won the game on a pick six. It was like the first time UW had won a game without scoring a touchdown in like 20 years or something. So they found a way to win. Watch out for UW. I'm just saying.
Okay. Why are they called UW?
University of Washington. So the W, you then take a W and you shorten it as dub.
I'm thinking, what does DUB have to do with the University of Washington?
UW. Easy. And I will have to say, I called it at the beginning of the year. I've called it so far through a third of the way. And now that we're more than halfway through the season, Bama keeps finding a way to win. Georgia keeps finding a way to win. We're going to have Bama versus Georgia somehow in the college football playoff.
God, I hope not.
Well, what I do hope is that you make another wonderful prediction and you are right about it, because I feel like you're doing pretty well with this. As tradition that I've realized that I just started, I will go first. I will let you collect your thoughts while you figure and get ready to go here. Now, this Virginia team is coming off an emotional win against UNC on the road. We have always struggled against Virginia, and I'm worried about a letdown game ourselves against an emotional Clemson team, and who knows who's going to play in this game injury-wise, since Mario never releases injury reports. I am going to say that it's not going to be the prettiest of games. It's not going to be an offensive explosion. And maybe if Emory Williams starts, we see him pass a little bit more. But I'm going to say Miami does walk away with the victory, and it's going to be 24-14.
I'm thinking it's going to be a bit more high scoring. I'm saying 35 Miami to 21.
Okay, comfortable two possession wins by the Canes, we feel. I'm hoping we're both right. I'm hoping you're really right. I'd love to see more offense. That would be exciting. Mom, you've got to get ready. This is a late podcast for you. You're headed down to the game and down to Miami tomorrow. Wish you luck. Safe travels. And if anything, bring us home a wonderful win.
I'm going to try my hardest, even if I have to get down on that field.
I know you will. And Lens, we have to get ready for it. You need to practice your chant here. So why don't you break it down for us as you usually do?
C-A-N-E-S.
Well done. You're in midseason form. No practice needed anymore. Let's go get another win. This has been a late in the week episode of Walking On with Chris Hayes featuring Mama Hayes.
Go Canes!